that just the opposite is my case. When I am honest with myself and I do some sincere searching down into the depths of my heart and the depths of my mind, then I can say, just as David said, that my cup does overflow. Because of the greatest blessings that the Lord of heaven provides, I have been able to partake of those. I live in a day and age when the Lord's church is where I was born. Many of the Lord's children are born in lands where the name of God has been forbidden to be spoken for decades. Many of the Lord's children have been born in places where the Word of God has never yet been seen, but I have access to it. He's blessed me that I could understand enough to read His Word. He's given me spiritual understanding that not only do I know what the words mean, but I know the intent and the thoughts of God, because He spiritually opens to me what's in those words and gives me understanding. And He continues to do so yet today. He's blessed me that I could be a member of His church. He's blessed me with health and understanding. He's blessed me to see my children have a desire to join the church, and I have seen them baptized. And He's blessed me to live in a day and age in which the church is at peace, and we dwell together in peace and brotherly love. Surely, surely my cup runneth over, because I have been so blessed. No, I don't have a palace like a king, but I have a greater house than any king could build. I have the privilege of going into the King of Kings' house and fellowship with Him and His children. What a wonderful blessing that is. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, we're told that this shepherd is leading his sheep. And it says here that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when you think about those sheep, sometimes they're eating along and they keep their head down all the time. We've got to look up every now and then and see where the shepherd is. We can get our eyes down so long that we've wandered off and the shepherd's gone and he's out of sight. Now we can feed upon His blessings. We can feed at His table. We can eat in those lush pastures. But we need to look up every now and then and make sure that we're in the right path. And to make sure that we still see the shepherd, we've got to keep our eyes on Him, because He's the one that's leading. He's the one that knows the way. We don't know the way, but He's been the way. He's traveled the way. He knows what tomorrow holds. He has promised us grace sufficient for whatever comes upon us every day. But we need to look to Him if we want that goodness and mercy to follow us, because we've got to be following Him. Because close and around about the shepherd is where the blessings are. We can wander off over here to the side and we start missing some of those blessings because we're too far off. I want to be just as close as I can. I want to be right by His side every day so that I can feel that touch of His gentle hand, so that I can hear His voice, so that I can feel His presence, so that I can be comforted by that rod and staff. Now, that rod and staff served multiple purposes. Yeah, it was sometimes for the shepherd to use to defend the sheep with. As David said, he fought off the bear and the lion. Sometimes there are animals that will attack the sheep, and the shepherd has to use those to fight off those attacks. But just the same, they are used to correct those sheep and keep them in the line. I want to be close enough that I don't need a lot of correcting, but thank God He does correct, and He does draw us back, and He does keep us in that path when we do go astray. And He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that's a thought that none of us can fully understand what it means. We dwell in the house of God right here physically today. Not this church, but us as the people are the house of God. This building is not the church of God. These pews are not the church of God. All the church buildings across this land are not the church of God. The people of God are the church of God. And we dwell in that today. And as I've already said, I believe that that is one of the greatest blessings that we have today. The vast majority of the Lord's people do not have the privilege of sitting down and hearing the truth proclaimed to them and understanding what's being said and rejoicing and resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And yet I believe it also encompasses what is yet to come, because David said forever. And we will not live on this earth forever. It doesn't matter whether we're blessed with 100 years or 50 years or 75 years or whatever. And the overall time of this earth, it'll be very short. And when we reach that day, it'll seem like it's all gone by very fast. I realize every day just how much faster the days are going by. And it's hard for me to believe that another year has almost been completed. It just seems like we started this one and another one is yet upon us. But even if we are blessed with many years of good health and long life, they'll still be very short. And that's not really sad. That's something that I rejoice in. Because I wouldn't want to have to stay in this world as wicked as it is today. After a little while, you begin to have enough of what's in this world, and you begin to grow tired of what goes on around you here. You get tired of seeing all the evil and wicked run rampant every day. And I know, and I feel like that you also, that there's a better place. That there's a place where I can sit down from this. There's a house that my Father has prepared in heaven. And my elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sitting there. And he's making intercession for me. And if he waits until after I'm dead, then this body will go back into the ground from which it came. But thank God, immediately when that happens, at death, my soul and spirit return to him. At that very moment, we are in the presence of Almighty God. At that very moment that we die here, the next moment, we're in the throne room of heaven. So we will live in the house of God forever, if he is our Savior, which he is, and that we are of his sheep, which I think we feel like we are. I know we have doubts, and we're going to have those. They're not going away. He hasn't promised that when you join the church, that everything's going to be perfect. But it's much better over here on the inside than it is on the outside. So we're going to have days of doubts and fears. We're going to have days when we have troubles. We're going to have days when we wonder if we've deceived ourselves every day of our life. And yet we have those others when we're absolutely sure that nobody can convince us otherwise that we are his children. And if so, it's prepared for us. And we'll go home. And we'll be there. And when he says, time is no more, when the very last child of God has been born into this world, when the very last one has been born of the Spirit of God, time will be no more. And this earth is going to pass away. But he's coming back. And he's going to take everybody that's laid in the ground. Doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter if anybody knows anything about anybody who was ever put there. It doesn't matter if they've been forgotten for 1,000 years. He knows them. Their hands, their names are on the palms of his hand. They're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows every hair on our heads. He knows where they are. He's going to call them out. That same power that created this earth, that same word that spoke it into existence is going to speak. And these bodies are going to come up. And we're going to be reunited, body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to live with him forever in heaven. We're going to be there forever. That's the part our minds cannot understand. We can't understand forever. I can't hardly understand 1,000 years, but forever I can't begin to grasp. But it's true. I don't have to understand every bit of it to know that it's true. I feel it's true. Thank God that he gives us those feelings, those understandings, that natural understanding cannot give, but the Spirit of God does give. So in closing, I just want to say this, that we have a great shepherd. Let's remember that we are sheep, though, and that sometimes we behave like it. And when we behave like it, we're going to have to be corrected. But the closer we walk to that shepherd, if we keep our eyes on him, if we're following in the path he leads in, if we're going in the way that he is going, then his rod and his staff will keep us. That the evils of this world, though they trouble us, cannot destroy us. Though they often bring us low, we're safe in the eternal arms of a loving Savior, a shepherd that knows his sheep, that we hear his voice and we follow him, and he's eventually not going to have one lost. Everyone will be brought home to stay with him forever in his home. I appreciate your attention. You've been a very kind audience. I hope that some of this has been benefit to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Steve.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Good instruction.
Thank you.
Brother Steve has brought us some wonderful instructions and admonitions out of the 23rd Psalm, which is one of the best-known portions of Scripture, I guess, in the Bible. And we appreciate him coming with us. I realized when I sat down that I didn't mention that his wife, Sister Sarah, and children, Andrea and Justin, was with him. We want you to meet them and become acquainted with them while doing lunch. I did think that while he was speaking there of in the sixth chapter of John, when this good shepherd and great shepherd that he spoke about when he was here, he fed the multitudes with, I believe it was 5 fishes and a couple of loaves of bread that a little lad had there. And after he left them, some of them went with his disciples, some of them followed him, and he rebuked them. He said, you are not seeking me for the miracles, but for the loaves and the fishes. And he said, work, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that lasts unto life everlasting. And he, they in turn asked him, he said, what work can we do that we might work the works of God? And he said, if ye would work the work of God, believe on him whom he hath sent. And in the balance of that chapter, he taught his disciples many wonderful bedrock truths. And as Brother Sammy Bright said the other day, he fed the multitudes on the loaves and the fishes, but he's fed his disciples on doctrine. On one occasion, you know, he warned his disciples to be aware of the leavening of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they said that he was speaking to them because they had forgotten to bring bread when they had come. And he did rebuke them then and said, don't you remember the 5, the loaves and the fishes and the multitude that was fed? He said he was not talking about the loaves and the fishes or real bread. He was talking about the doctrine that the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught. And so when he spoke about bread, he was speaking about his doctrine. As a matter of fact, that's in that 6th chapter, is that great chapter where he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the true bread that God gives you. Moses, he said, fed you on manna that came down from heaven. And he said, it wasn't Moses, but it was my Father. They said Moses fed him on him. He said, it wasn't Moses, it was my Father. But he said, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. And he established there, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, believeth my words, and him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Well, he turned the religious world upside down with that one statement right there. He was teaching his disciples that life begins before there's action, that before God's little sheep desire the sheep food and to follow him, that they have life, they have spiritual life. He taught repentance, and he taught honesty, and he taught being born from heaven, from above, being born again. And he taught that all that the Father would gave him would come to him, and all that came to him he would in no wise cast out. And he rebuked those that came seeking the loaves and the fishes. And he said that no man, he said, murmur not. When he taught them, they began to murmur among themselves. And it was in this chapter that he said, murmur not among yourselves. For I said unto you that no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. Here he talks about the drawing power of God, the necessity of it for God's people to come to him or to want him or to seek him. And these wonderful truths, he fed his disciples on doctrine. And that's the bread that we live off of. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And beloved, if we would eat his flesh and drink his blood, as Brother Steve has said, he set up his church here. that his dear people, that is those that have been in a position to join the church, is multitudes of people that's lived and died in this world that's never so much as ever heard of the church. And not live in a country where there is a church. But we have that privilege, and it's there that we can come and we can. He says, you can eat at my table and drink at my table in my kingdom. And that's what we do. But the Lord can eat and meditate on the Lord and eat his flesh and drink his blood by wherever you are, in prayer and in meditation and in reading of the scriptures. And when you think about the Lord, and that's what we are to do in order to keep our wool clean, as Brother Steve said, that we need to meditate upon him, to feed upon him, and who is the bread of life. Man's soul is not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone. He's more than a feeding animal. He has the Spirit of God. He's made in the image of God, and he has the Spirit of God, a spirit and a soul and a body that's fashioned in the image of God. He's a three-part, a tri-part being, and made in the image of God. And he needs more than just physical bread for the physical body. He needs food for the soul, and that's what he's telling his disciples. After he fed the multitude with literal bread and literal meat, he goes and feeds them with heavenly bread. And he says, I am that bread that came down from heaven, and we are to feed upon him. Bread is the staff of life. It doesn't give life. Jesus is to whom to know is life eternal. He gives eternal life, but he also sustains that life with this bread, which he himself is. He is not only the bread of life, but he's the light of the world. He's the altar on which our sacrifice was made. That is, his humanity was offered on the altar of deity, and he was the sacrifice himself. His human body was the sacrifice that all the lambs were typical of, and he was the high priest that passed through the veil and went up into heaven and sprinkled his blood on the actual mercy seat that the one in the tabernacle was just a type of. And so he's our high priest, and he's our paschal lamb, as well as the altar on which it was offered. And all of these doctrines he taught his disciples. When he says, I'm the light of the world, he didn't mean that he was a walking flashlight, that he was illuminating a pathway out here so you could literally see where you was going. What did he mean when he said, I am the light of the world? He meant that he was the way, the truth, and the life. The words he said that I speak are the words that I have received from my Father. In other words, what would you value for the very words of God, the God that created heaven and earth? What would you give for his words, the very words of God? Well, that's what the Lord give us. He came down from heaven, and the words he spoke, he said, they are spirit and they are life. And the words that I speak, I have received of my Father. I can do nothing except what I have seen of my Father. And this doctrine he gave his disciples. And we are to feed upon him. If the spiritual soul would have spiritual life and would have spiritual vitality, then we must feed upon him. We must feed upon his doctrine and eat that which he has given us. As we've said many times before, there's many, many admonitions about honesty and integrity and clean living. We're not to let him that steal no more. And no liars in the end of heaven. We're not to lie. We're not to steal. We're not to cheat. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to kill. We're not to do all of these things. And we are admonished that. But they are few in number compared to the number of times that the Lord himself and his apostles warned his disciples on, take heed how you hear. Beware of the doctrines of the Pharisees and the scribes. Beware of the self-righteous. There are many false Christs, there are many false apostles, there are many false prophets, there are many false teachers are gone out into the world, he said. The apostles warned his disciples. And why do we need to be constantly warned, beloved? Because we are, as Brother Stephen said, we have this sinful nature in us, and there's many false doctrines, there's many false winds blowing out in the world, and because of the sinful nature, we are easily led off. Easily led off. And if we led off from the truth, then we are easily taken captive by those that would destroy the truth of God and make you make merchandise of you. And so then this doctrine, when he says he rebuked those that sought him, that said they would come and make him a king for the loaves and the fishes, and he went and hid. Many people will go out for something that's new, or something that if there's going to be food, something there that would entertain the natural man, many will follow after that. But when the Lord began to teach his doctrines, it said, many said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they turned and walked with him no more. I mean, think about it, beloved. Here was God in the flesh, tabernacling among men. And they followed him, but when he fed them that true doctrine that come down from heaven concerning himself, when he made statements like that, no man can follow me except my Father who sent me draw him, they said, this is a hard saying. Now why, beloved, would they not receive that or inquire into it? Because how many people do you know that will say, I don't care what the Bible says, I believe this. They value their own opinion more than they value the words of God. They insist that God is such and such, and that his doctrine is such and such. And if you teach something different from what they say they believe, then they turn and walk with you no more. They will turn and not walk, and that's exactly what they did with the Lord. They're still doing it today, beloved. When you teach that man is depraved, he has a sinful nature, and left to himself, he will not seek after God. He will not take the first step or to go after him, but he will go from him. They will not believe that. Many multitudes, I'm talking about, will not believe that. I'd read just last week, there's 82% of an inventory of a survey that was made in the seminaries of this world that are going to school to learn how to preach the gospel that do not believe that Jesus Christ is divine. 82% of them do not believe that Jesus Christ is actually God manifested in the flesh. They do not believe that. And if you insist on that, if you insist that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, they'll brand you as a redneck and a fundamentalist and an extremist, and they'll lay you aside. They'll turn and walk with you no more. They'll turn and walk. That's what they did, our Lord. The Lord looked at his disciples and said, will you too also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? Is that not the way it is, beloved, to you that's been brought into the truth of our God, that by his marvelous grace and shepherding that you've come to his church and you've learned this truth and received it in your bosom? And when you know these fundamentally truths, that verily, verily, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die, and he that heareth my words and believeth on me that sent me hath everlasting life. When the religious world says that if you will believe, you'll get everlasting life. If you will believe, he'll give you everlasting life. But he says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And his doctrine is just 100% opposite from the world's doctrine, the religious world's doctrine. And when you set that forth, many will turn and walk with you no more. And so what a wonderful privilege and a blessing, and what wonderful grace has been bestowed upon his dear people, when we can come together and fellowship with our Lord and fellowship with the doctrine of the apostolic doctrine, the very words that he taught them himself. And they, by the grace of God, were moved by the Holy Ghost and wrote these things down. And this very same Spirit of God he has placed in you, and I trust in me, that we might believe and trust in him. Truly trust in him. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in his Son. Not in our righteousness, not in our works, not in what we can do. We've been created unto good works, and we want to manifest good works out of love for one who loved us so great that he sacrificed himself for us. We want to perform the good works, but not because of, not to become his children, but because we trust that we are. We can trust in him and in his marvelous grace. Truly, he is the bread of life. And it came down from heaven. And as we said, when he says, I am the light of the world, he meant, beloved, that the words, the doctrine, the precepts which he set forth liberated your spirit and your soul. It was something you could live by, you could see by, you could see through the darkness, the deceit, and the ideologies of men, the religions of this world that teach just opposite from what his teach. You can see there's a light. It's a light in your pathway and a lamp unto your feet. It's something that when it's hid in your heart, you might not sin against him. You can face temptations. As the brother said there, the Lord, his doctrine, talking about his bread and his doctrine, we're not going to keep you too long here, but in the first message, sermon that the Lord preached is called the Sermon on the Mount in the Matthew there. He taught many wonderful things in that discourse, about three chapters long. It's the longest discourse that our Lord spoke at one time that's recorded anywhere in the scriptures. And when you read there, he taught his disciples. First, he pronounced them to be a blessed people with certain characteristics, and he taught them how to pray, go in your closet and pray. He gave us a pattern of a prayer. Pray after this manner. He taught us that, and he taught us when we give, not to make a big illustration, a demonstration out of it for the publicity of it, but to give secretly and not let your right hand know what your left hand does. And he taught us many different things. And down at the end of it, and he says that he would liken a man, said that a man that hears these words and does them is like a man that builds his house upon the rock. Said the winds came, and the rains came, and the wind blew, and the storm came, and it beat upon the house, but it was built upon the rock, and it stood. And a man that hears these things and does not do them is like a man that built his house on sand. And so he turns to his disciples and said, will you too also go away? Now, he didn't force these people to go away, and he didn't force them to stay. He just left it right up to them. He turned to his disciples. It gives it, he just taught it, said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. But that's as far as he went. He as the captain of our salvation, he illustrated and demonstrated that we are to walk by faith. Though they turned and walked with him no more, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And as the captain of our faith, he demonstrated that though those turned and walked away, he knew it was Isaiah had already wrote, said, many shall come from the east, and they shall come from the west. He was satisfied that all that the Father would give him would come to him, though these had turned and gone away. And that's what we're to do, beloved. We are to be satisfied with the house of God and with his church and with his doctrine and not go off after something else and feed upon him. That's what he gave his disciples. He fed the multitude with the fishes, but he fed his disciples with doctrine, with bread from heaven. And that was his very self. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious word. We appreciate Brother Steve coming and preaching so good for us. And given us these examples, illustrations out of the Word of God. We want to publish the doors of the church open. If there's one or more here today that has been blessed to feed as one of God's sheep upon the Word of God and feel the testimony of it in your soul, would love to make a public profession of faith of your trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. If you have that desire, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together here before we depart. Let's sing. Yes, sir.
Lord, we know this will be our last meeting here this year. Mighty good time to remember our pastor. He's in traveling convention, traveling near the spirit of his pastor, and also our visiting brother with us here today. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Brother Reverend.
Thank you, Brother Paul. We appreciate that. And I'd like to say, since this is our last meeting here at Lindsay Street Church, that I certainly appreciate each gift and kindness and prayer on my behalf for this past year. You've been a wonderful group of people to me. And I feel like, if not deceived, I love you for Christ's sake. We've had some good times together. And the preaching, I'm sure, could have been better. But as for my part, we've enjoyed it. And we love you and your fellowship in the Lord. And we appreciate each and every one that comes to the services, and hope you'll have a mind to continue to come, that we might worship the Lord together, love one another, serve one another, and be a little witness, a little testimony of the marvelous love of God while we're living down here. Let's not fight and devour and bicker with one another. Let's labor to love one another and to serve one another and to worship our God, live in peace. The Lord's place, where the Lord is a quiet habitation. And it's a wonderful thing to come and to sit down in a quiet habitation and sweetly and humbly lift up our voices and our prayers in praise and thanksgiving to our God, where there's harmony and unity and the Spirit of God dwells. Beloved, it's the best place this side of heaven. It's a little heaven here on earth. It's just a little foretaste of it. And we love the Lord so much for it. Only me and the Lord know what a sinner I am. And only He knows what He saved me from. Only He knows what He saved you from. I know where I'd be if I got my deserts. And I trust we're thankful for this privilege this morning. May the Lord keep us in His loving, tender kindness and care is our prayer. Let's sing Amazing Grace.
Remind all of our visitors and members that lunch has been brought out, and we invite everyone to stay and have lunch with us.
The sisters and friends have brought out lunch for that purpose, and if you possibly can, stay and eat with us and fellowship with us as we after we break up from the service. Sing better.
Page 69. Amazing Grace.
Oh,
church next Sunday. That's the only appointment that I have for the rest of this year. Of any other announcements?
We might announce that Sister Dover Smith, that was a member of this church for many years, her son passed away yesterday, and his funeral will be this afternoon at Thompsonville Baptist Church. That's Sister Dover Smith, that was a member of this church for many years. That's her son that's passed away, and his funeral is this evening at 2:00 at Thompsonville Baptist Church.
Who's that? Everett?
Yes.
All hearts and minds satisfied, that's Brother Steve, we'll dismiss.
Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful of the Lord that we've had this wonderful privilege to come out again on this day, Father, into thy house. I'm thankful, Lord, that the church has been kept and preserved here in this land, and that we, Father, as a small portion of thy people in this world, have the privilege and honor of partaking in the joys and the rest and the sweet fellowship found in thy house. I'm thankful, O Lord, that we feel like, Father, that we have felt thy spirit today. Father, we hope and pray that all that has been said and done here today would be in accordance to thy will and would be honoring and glorifying unto thy name. Thankful, Father, that there are still people yet that are presenting their bodies a living sacrifice and are willing to walk in that narrow path and follow the great shepherd here in this world. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless thy people. Remember each one, Father, and the needs that they have. Thou knowest the case. Thou knowest the needs of every one of thy children. We ask, Lord, that you would bless according to the need. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to go through this day with us. Bless us, Father, with thy providential care, Father, with thy grace and thy mercy each day of our lives, that we might walk humbly before thee and our brothers and sisters. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us our many sins and shortcomings. We ask all these blessings and favors in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Faithful luck to the popular game.